Open your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 36, the last chapter in the book of Numbers. Now, since we came here, we've taught the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, and the book of Numbers. Now, I believe that's doing pretty good. We've done pretty good, amen. We've got the book of Deuteronomy to do before we finish the Pentateuch. Tell you ahead of time, the book of Deuteronomy, the number means the second law. The second giving of the law. We're going to find more laws, Brother Hunter, that we haven't covered already. More new things to learn about God and His economy. Amen. And though some of them may not apply to us today, there are yet principles that do apply to us that will help us in our living for God and help us be in the place where God can bless us. Now, I want to tell you, it's God's nature and His way to bless. But if we're not where God can bless us, then neighbor, God can't bless us. It's not that God doesn't want to. He cannot bless us. Because God will never bless wrong. He doesn't do that. Amen. Amen. And so, these things help us, even though some of them may only apply to the theocracy in which the children of Israel live. Now, tonight, as we come to the final chapter, I want you to remember that they're sitting on the east bank of the Jordan River, right across from where Jericho is. God has prepared the people in the book of Numbers to go in advance and do this new generation what the old generation refused to do in exercising their faith and taking the land for God. Now, we have talked about God allocating the land to the tribes. You'll remember a couple of chapters ago, God gave them a preview of the land. He designated the borders. He told them how they were to divide the land according to number and how it was to be inhabited. Then we talked about how the Levites were to live in special cities that were given unto them, and that the borders around those cities, known as suburbs, were to be places for their livestock and the things that they had received through the tithes of the people of Israel. Now, these cities, 48 of them, you'll remember, were not given by God unto them. They were given by the people. For the children of Levi had no inheritance in the land. The Bible said that the Lord was their inheritance. Now, I want to remind you, the Levite of the Old Testament is the Christian of the New Testament. That's right. The Bible says that God has made us priests. Peter talks about the priesthood of the believer. Now, that doesn't mean that I need somebody to intercede for me. Now, you pray for me and intercede for me, but it means I don't have to have you to get to God. I don't have to have a mediator other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing Timothy, said, there's one mediator between God and man, and it is the man Christ Jesus. Amen. So we don't need a Levite or a priest like they did in the Old Testament because we are the priests. That's right. We have direct access to God whereby we can intercede as we just did when we prayed for all of the needs of the people and for all of the lost. Amen. That we might bring them to God. We are priests and we don't need any other priests. We have direct access to that great high priest. And so as the Levite had no inheritance in this world, in the land of Canaan, you and I don't have any inheritance. Now, I've got a house. It's nothing to be envious over, but I like it. You've got a house. Some of you got them paid for. You're proud of them. You like them, and you ought to be. But if this Bible teaches anything, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I don't have any inheritance here. Amen. Thank God for everything I've got. God's given me more than I deserve, and certainly more than I need. And He has you too, hasn't He, really? But, neighbor, it's worth giving it all up for Jesus. Amen. I only live for what's on the other side, and not what's on this side. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we are the Levites. Now, we come to one other group. The last few chapters, we've been talking about the land. God's designated and divided the land for the people. He dealt with the tribes. the 12 tribes, and then he dealt with the Levites. But we're going to read tonight about another group, and you've seen this group before, who have a few questions, and it's some ladies, the daughters of Zelophehad. Y'all remember the daughters of Zelophehad? I'll be back in Numbers chapter 27. We studied about them. 13 verses in this chapter, so let's just read about them. Numbers 36, verse 1. And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near, and spake before Moses and before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, The Lord commanded, my Lord, to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. My Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. And if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put under the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. And Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, The tribes of the sons of Joseph hath said well. Now, boy, I like to hear God say that about somebody. This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, Let them marry whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter that possesseth an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Mahlah, and Tirzah, and Hoglah, and Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's sons. And they were married into the families of the sons of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. And so that last verse pretty much sums up the whole of the book of Numbers. And so there was one last detail to be dealt with. Every tribe has understood that it's going to receive an inheritance of its own according to size. Every tribe has been made to understand that they are going to have to give some of their cities unto the Levites for them to be their dwelling place. And everything's pretty much took care of, except there was some things that weren't quite understood on the part of these daughters of Zelophehad. Now, I tell you, as we talked before about them, and I don't want to be redundant and repetitive, we found that these ladies had to be ladies of faith. They had to be individuals who paid attention to what was going on, because they responded in such an immediate and a spiritual way to things that they recognized that were going to cause question later in their particular relationship to the theocracy that Israel was to be. And so we find them here coming once more to Moses, whom they refer to as my Lord, little L, you see that, and asking him some questions. And so, I'm not going to keep you long tonight. I'll just give you the 3 points of the message. First, we see in verses 1 through 8, a new complaint. A new complaint. Then in verses number 5 through 9, we see a new command. And then in the following verses, in verses 10 through 13, we see a new commitment. a new commitment. Now, if you'll go back later to Numbers 27 and read the story, you'll remember how that the daughters of Zelophehad, and it names them there, and they're not real flattering names in English. I hope that they sound better in Hebrew. They said, listen, our father died in the wilderness. He wasn't included in the sin of Korah, but he died because of his own sin. You remember that? And so they said, are we not to receive an inheritance because our father is dead and we're not married? They were single ladies. Well, Moses said, well, that ain't right. He went to the Lord, and the Lord said, tell you what, if a man doesn't have any sons and he has only daughters, then those daughters, are, that particular inheritance of his is not to be lost. It's not to be given unto another, but it is to go to then his daughters. And they were to inherit that inheritance. So they knew that whenever they went into the land of Canaan, they were going to inherit some of the land that the sons of Joseph got. Now, he had two sons. Who were they? One was Ephraim. But these were descendants of who? Manasseh. Now, what have we found out in the last few chapters about Manasseh? Half of the tribe of Manasseh decided they won't stay on the other side of Jordan where the grass was greener. Remember, that was another message. So what does that tell us about these ladies? It tells me that those ladies were not a part of that crowd who were not even going to wait till God showed them the blessed promised land where it flowed with milk and honey. They were going to be a part of that half-tribe. Said, tell you what, y'all stay here, boys, if you want to. My inheritance is over here where God's got for us in the land of Canaan. Amen. So I want to tell you, these ladies were spiritual ladies. And so they come before Moses. They don't assume anything. And they're honest and earnest enough when they have a question about something. They come before Moses and they have a complaint and they say this. Well, what is going to happen when we get into the land of Canaan? We're single ladies. We're good-looking Hoglah and Malah and all them other law, Noah. And obviously we're going to marry. I mean, you know, it was a curse to not have any children to be married to those people back then. It's not today, but it was then. When we marry, then this inheritance that we've received from our father when the year of Jubilee comes, you see that mentioned there, that was the 50th year. It was declared to be a year of Jubilee. And if you lost your land, then you got your land back if you lost it due to debt. If you sold yourself as a slave, only to another Hebrew, not to a Gentile, then you were to be set free and you would receive your debts paid altogether. And any land that was lost to go back to the individual to whom it was. And if an individual had married a woman that had an inheritance, then that inheritance which was hers was to become a part of this man's inheritance. Now, you know as well as I do, when you marry today, half whatever you got goes to whoever you marry just about. Amen. Those are some of the laws that we have today, or sometimes it works out that way, and sometimes it does not. And so they brought this complaint before the Lord. Amen. But they did it the right way, and they presented it unto him. Now, we can find a lot to complain about. Now, that's right. I tell you, I don't need complaints. I need solutions. I need answers, amen. I need somebody to come to me and say, Donnie, I tell you what, I think if we would do this, it would help us a lot in this area, amen. I want to tell you what we need. We need more people taking those cards and those door things, knocking on doors. You'd be too tired to complain about very much if you did much of that, I can tell you, amen. God helping me, I'm going to try to write a tract for this church here very soon and have printed up to go along with that. We need the tools to be able to put out whenever we go. Amen. Amen. And so they come to the Lord and, through Moses and say, listen, we don't want to wait to the last minute to cover this detail. Can you let us know how this is going to work out? So they're thinking ahead, are they not? About what? Well, what most women used to think about. I don't know what women think about. They always think about marriage. Meeting that knight in shining armor, that Prince Charming that was going to sweep through one day and sweep them off of their feet. Amen. And so we see a new command. And we see what it was. The Lord said this. He said, okay, this is what you're to do. Let the daughters of Zelophehad or any other woman that has an inheritance, let them marry whoever they will. That's what he said. But let it be of the same tribe. Huh? let it be of the same tribe. Now, how does that solve the problem? Well, it does it this way. They were a member of the tribe of Manasseh. And so the Lord said, let them marry whoever they want to marry, but they need to marry somebody who's of the tribe of Manasseh. That way, when your Jubilee comes around and their inheritance passes to the man that they had married, it won't pass into another tribe. It will still be a part of the tribe of Manasseh. Now, let me tell you something. God was very zealous for the land of Palestine, the land of Canaan, and I believe that He is today. And God set the boundaries out of that thing. We've seen that. And God gave every tribe a portion in there. And God is so particular about it, and so special to Him, that He said in here, as we just read it, that the land of one tribe is not to pass under the other tribe through any type of selling, bartering, or any type of mishandling in inheritance. And so to solve that, He says, not only to the daughters of Manasseh, not only to the daughters of Zelophehad, but unto the daughters of every tribe that might have an inheritance, when you marry, marry who you will, but you must marry somebody of your same tribe. Now, you know who I think about when I read this? The Gospel of Luke, the Bible gives us more information than anywhere else about the parents of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, one of the greatest preachers, preached the same message Jesus did. You study that sometime. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came out preaching the same message the next day. It's what the Bible says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. One of the greatest men ever lived, Jesus said. That's what He said. But you know what I believe one thing was that made John the Baptist so great? Now, I had a problem with this when I first got saved because, see, I had to know everything. And I thought I knew everything, but I had a few things I yet had to figure out. Now I'm amazed at my own ignorance. But I was wondering why it was right or why it was fair for John the Baptist to be born full of the Holy Ghost. And I got to go through such a mess. And that'll do something for you charismatics. You don't do nothing to get the Holy Ghost, my friend. He's God's gift. And He's called a gift. Yes, He is. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Gifts you do not earn in any way. I had a problem with that. Well, now, how come he got it at his mother's birth? At his birth? I think it had a whole lot to do with his parents. You see, John the Baptist's daddy was a Levite, and when he married a Levite. Huh? You see, they, almost 1,000 years after God gave this commandment to Israel, they were still following. This bunch still believed in God. John the Baptist's parents did. Amen? Miss Elizabeth and Zacharias still believed the Word of God. And so when she married, and when he married, said, I'm going to marry in my tribe. Now that was the exception, not the rule. How do you know, preacher? I won't tell you why. Because the Bible tells us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth were cousins, doesn't it? Well, Elizabeth was of the tribe of Levi. Mary was of the tribe of Judah. How could they possibly be cousins unless somebody married across the line? Isn't that right? It had to happen. So I'm telling you, it was the exception and not the rule in Jesus' day that folks were being obedient to what the Word of God said in faith. And so I believe due to the faith of that mama and that daddy who obeyed the Word of God in every way that they knew to do right and that they loved God, that God honored their faith and their obedience by giving them a son full of the Holy Ghost from the mother's womb named John the Baptist. The Bible says in John chapter 1, there was a man sent from God. It starts off with Jesus in eternity. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning. And then just a couple of verses right after that it says, there was a man sent from God. He wasn't that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. I want to tell you something. I believe that it was due to their parents. Now, let me say this. Let's bring it to our life. Since we're not a part of that theocracy. But we are a part of a theocracy, remember, because he's the king. Amen. We don't live in a democracy as Christians. We live in a democracy as Americans, but you and I don't live in a democracy. We live in a theocracy. We live in a lordship, if you will. He's our Lord and he's our king. And we're not our own. We're bought with a price. We're his servants. We're his slaves. We're his sons. We're his saints. Amen. Isn't that right? We're his stewards. We're not our own. We live under a theocracy. Right? How do we apply it to our lives? I'll tell you why. How we apply it. 3 points were what? A new complaint, a new command, and then a new commitment. You see? God has a right to tell us who to marry. You believe that? I believe the New Testament teaches that just as sure as what we're teaching right here. Isn't that right? I believe that the Bible tells us that we ought to marry, as Christians, somebody else who's a Christian. Huh? Somebody of our own kind, our own tribe. I'll go further than that. If you want to be safe in your life and you want a happy marriage, it'd be better if you married somebody in your own denomination, believe like you. It'd save you from a lot of trouble down the line. I've talked with a lot of folks. One of our firemen there, he was raised Catholic. He's not really Catholic. He's really lost. He needs to be saved. But he was brought up in the tradition. And his wife was a Baptist. She goes to a Baptist church up here in Socia. And so, he being what most Catholics are, he went to church with her. Because he didn't know a whole lot. But he went with her and he came to me. And he asked me about, I was raised this way. I was a Catholic. And she's a Baptist. And he said, I don't understand this or that and the other, you know. And so he's a-pulling this way, not even knowing why. And she's a-going the way that she went. And so here they were a-pulling. I said, well, let me give you some advice. What I would do if I was you. I said, why don't you and your wife sit down with this book? And why don't you read this book together? And before you begin, make the commitment to each other that whatever it says, that will you do. Whether it's Catholic, or whether it's Baptist, whether it's anything else. If you'll do that, then it'll help you all bond together. Because you need to give yourselves to the Lord together. Now, if they'll do that, that'll work. But I want to tell you, most folks, 99.9% of people are not going to do that. They're not going to do that. How many people have I met? We used to have one come to church here. He'd come to church here. His wife went somewhere else. Why? They come from different backgrounds and things. And so it divided the family. But I want to tell you something. And this is the response of the world today. What right does God have to tell me who to marry? Well, God said, go ahead and marry who you want. But there are certain people in a certain place you need to marry. He said, ye daughters of Zelophehad, you marry descendants of Manasseh if you want to keep your inheritance. Isn't that what he said? And the daughters of the other tribes would do the same, who had an inheritance of families that did not have sons. The New Testament tells us that we as Christians, having been saved, having been born again, that we should look for people to marry who are saved. Christians. Now, it teaches that. Now, I'm going to teach the book of 1 Corinthians when I finish Deuteronomy. That's where I'm headed, just straight as I can. And we're going to learn there that God does have a right as your Lord to tell you who to marry. Now, we know that we all make mistakes. We know that divorce is a reality and it's a part of human existence and human failure. Isn't that right? It is. We have to be honest. We know how God feels about that. So the Bible tells us that if two individuals who are married, one gets saved, that wife, that saved wife or that saved husband should not leave the other partner because they are not saved, but they're to stay there with them. And by their conversation, that's not just what you say, it's your manner of life, some way or another you might influence them to come to the Lord. And God's not in the marriage breaking business, even when one got saved and the other one didn't. But if you're already saved, then you ought to hunt somebody that's saved to marry. You have a lot happier life, and it won't be messing up your inheritance. Huh? Now that's what the Word of God says. And really that's what we should do. Huh? Amen. Amen. God tells us these things for our good. Somebody said once, well, I said a lot. And when I say they, I'm talking about in general, things that I've heard through the years, and you probably heard too. Well, you can't help who you can fall in love with. Who you fall in love with. You can't help who you fall in love with. I'll tell you what you can do. You can help who you hang around. And people you don't hang around, then you're not going to fall in love with. Amen? Now, if you're a child of God and you're saved and you're part of the house of God and household of faith, and then you go down to the casino or somewhere and you hang around there part-time through the week and everything, you may find somebody down there and you might fall in love with that person. Now you're in a mess, dear. You're in a mess. If you don't hang around the wrong people, then that chance is not going to happen. He said, listen, what tribe are you of? I'm the tribe of Manasseh. Then you hang around the Manassehites. And I assure you, you'll find somebody there to marry. Now, when you look through an eye of unfaith, not faith as I call it, then you get mad at God. And you say, well, now wait a minute, I ought to have the right to marry who I want. Listen, Donna Murphy had a problem with that. Remember, I was single when I got saved. And I read some things in 1 Corinthians, and I would say to myself, I don't understand that. I don't understand why God's saying that. But I thank God I did have enough sense to say, I'm going to believe it. I don't understand why God said that right now. Later, I did understand what it was. Neighbor, God's desire is when you get saved, not for you to have more heartache. I want to tell you, there's enough heartache in being a Christian. God sure doesn't want you to be a part of a broken home. And the best thing that ever happened to you and I in my life is to find the right mate. Them boys, you know how young men are at the fire station. Go to talking about their wives and women and everything. I'll grin. I'll just say, well, I'll tell you this. Something happened to Miss Ann. I won't ever marry another one. Well, they think they got me. Oh, yeah, tell us about it, old boy. And I say, I'll tell you why. I'll never find another one to take care of me like she has. So I'm not going to risk it. I'm not going to risk it. I'll just stay a bachelor man till the day that I leave. Amen. The Bible says that if God gives you a good woman, and of course the other would be true, then maybe you've got something more precious than gems. Praise God. And if a child of God wants to be happy, they ought to marry a child of God. And he said, if a daughter of Zelophehad wanted to be happy, then she ought to marry a daughter of Zelophehad. Praise God. It'll help you throughout all of your life. And you complain, and you command, but praise God, a new commitment. Look what the Bible said about these ladies. Verse 10, even as the Lord commanded Moses. Now this is looking into the future. He so did the daughters of Zelophehad. Now we'll find that later in the book of Joshua. What's he saying there? He's saying that they did exactly. Read it in verse number 12 there. We've already read it. They did exactly as God said. Now any one of them women, if any of them was part of the ERA or the NOW or the D.E.D., any of that crowd would bow up and say, ain't nobody got no right to tell me nothing. Honey, they didn't do it. They said, hey, if that's what God says, then that's what we're going to do. I'm going to wait for my Romeo to come from the tribe of Manasseh. Huh? You see, here's something. When you get saved, you just like me, you didn't know much about God and you didn't know much about the Bible, did you? And so as you begin to read the Bible or sit under preaching or teaching in Sunday school and so on, you learn new things, new commands of the Lord. Amen. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Huh? Who is he that loves me but he that keeps my commandments? And so as God revealed new things to you, every time that you got the new command, you had to make a new commitment to it. Well, I'll never forget when I got saved. You talk about being brought low. It seemed every Sunday I was up at the altar, crying. Amen. Tears and everything else were flowing. And man, I'd say to myself, and I couldn't help it because it's just the way I am, I'd say, man, what do these people think of me? They think I'm either crazy or I'm the wickedest man there ever was. Now, I can show you my first Bible. I've still got it. It's a red little Bible, and I marked in it with red ink things I considered important, and it's ruined. I wrote in too much. It's all covered up. A new command demands a new commitment. Amen. And so that's what this is. They came with a problem. God gave them a new command. When he did, it demanded a new commitment. And the daughters of Zelophehad had were such women of faith that they said, hey, that'll work. If that's what God wants, then I believe that'll work. And so we find out here and in the book of Joshua that they did exactly what God told them to do. And so the inheritance of the tribe of Manasseh never went unto another tribe. I want to tell you something. The commitments of the past were good, but they won't do for today, people. They won't do for today. God needs a new commitment from us all of our lives. As God teaches us, as God convicts us, as God shows us, as God guides us, God needs a new commitment from us every day, people. If we ever stop doing that, then we stop growing. We find ourselves outside the place that God would have us to be. Thank God that He forgives us of our failures. Thank God that, bad marriages and broken marriages won't keep us out of heaven. Amen. That's right. Thank God for that. But oh, listen. Let's don't make the same mistakes. Let's do what God would have us to do. And let's make commitments that God has revealed will give us a secure inheritance. And that's what it's all about. Amen. That's what it's all about. We live in an age of broken families, broken marriages, broken churches, broken promises. You've got to go a long way in this world today to get a commitment out of anybody. If you won't give them a paycheck or something, you're not going to get a commitment out of them. And you're probably not going to get it then if you're not real careful about who it is. Listen, I believe that if we will commit ourselves to the commands of God and the commission that God has given us, then God will bless our inheritance just as He did the daughters of Zelophehad and honor our faith and our obedience to Him. Amen. Why don't we just make a new commitment to God? Say, God, I don't understand. Well, just make a commitment. Just believe. People say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, read it anyway. I don't understand why God says some of the things that He says. I said, well, don't worry about understanding. Worry about believing. If you don't understand something, just believe it and go on. God will bring that back to you later on. Amen. We need to make a commitment to the Lord. Amen. A commitment of faithfulness and a commitment of obedience. When we do that, neighbor, God will honor it. God will honor it. Now, you just need to may as well understand that there are only certain things that God will honor in a spiritual sense, and that He will bless with things that are real. And He will not bless non-commitment. Amen. You don't have to commit to me. You don't have to commit to this church. But you need to commit to the Lord. And when you commit to the Lord, then you'll commit to me and you'll commit to this church. One always follows the other. Let's stand together. Our Father, thank You for this time to open the Word of the Lord again, to read about these wonderful daughters of Zelophehad, the faith that they had, the inquisitiveness and the alertness and attentiveness